We're on the top of Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yanai, Eino Chayev Ad Sheyim Serenu L'Mishar Se'avod Zora. The Chiyuv for Molech, for Nosein Zaro La Molech, which is in Vayikra Yudches, is conditional on the fact that, number one, the father hands over his child to the priests of Molech, and then the child is passed through the fire. Shenemar umizarcha lo sitein lahavir la Molech. Here we have a machlokes rishonim. Rashi holds that the father has to personally carry his child through the fire. Otherwise, he's not liable. The Ramban understands that no. How could the father be liable for this right unless he himself? So again, let's start again. According to Rashi, a person is moser as zaro, as the Gemara says, le mishar se avodah zara, and it's the mishar se avodah zara that take his child through the fire. The Ramban, on the other hand, says, well, wait a minute, why is the father chayev if it's not he himself, the father, who passes his child through the fire? It's somebody else, and he can't be responsible for that. Now, Rashi holds that all you have to do is give over the child, and that's called mesira. That mesira is itself like as if he passed the child through. It's like the Bryce in Trumos that says that if the goyim surround the city and they say, give us, we want you to be Moser, one person, otherwise we'll raise the whole city. We're not allowed to be Moser. The Mesir itself is, when you give up someone to die, that itself is considered a quasi-act of Ritzicha. But the Ramban holds, no. It must be the father himself who takes the child over the fire. It's not that the father would be chayiv for an act or a ritual that's consummated by the priests. The Ramban says that basically what happens is the father has to present the child to the priests. The priests then return the child to him, and then the father, carries his child through the fire himself. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have another source, an earlier source to prove this point, that Mesira is a prerequisite for the Chiyuv. Yochol Hevir Velo Masar Yehei Chayuv. You might think that it's enough if a father passes his child through the fire, but he did not hand the child over to the priests. I might think that he's chayev in such a case. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, lo sitein, that you must have a nesina, meaning a mesira, to give over the child to the priest. So that's a precondition. Now, the Braisa continues in the flip side. What about Masala Molech Vilo Hevir? If there was a Mesira, but the child was not passed through the fire, Yochel Yehei Chayev, I might think they'd be Chayev just because of the Mesira. In other words, the fact that he presents his child with the intention that he be passed through the fire, that itself generates the liability for this violation, for this Chiyuv Misa. And it's irrelevant whether the priest actually brought his child through the fire. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Lahavir. And the word Lahavir indicates that you need also the actual Havara, passing the child through the fire. So we now have both conditions, Mesira and Havara. And therefore, the Braisa concludes that Masar Velo Hevir, Hevir Velo Masar, Eino Chayev. The Braisa continues and says, Masar vehevir shalola molech. If he gave over the child and passed it through the fire, but for a different idol, for a different avodah zarah, but not molech, yochli yechayev tamalomer la molech. So we now have a third condition, the mesira and the havar has to be la molech, not for any other idol whatsoever. And finally, the Braisa says, Masar vehevir la molech veloba ish. He gave the child over to the priests for Molech, but they did not pass the child through the fire. In other words, he passed the child through something else, but not through fire. Yochel Yechayv, I might think that he's chayv, and there's no absolute requirement of eish. Nemarkan lehavir, here in the parsha of Mavir, and Nemar lehalin also elsewhere, it says, and this is a pasuk in Dvarim. We've been studying a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yud Ches. Now we're in Dvarim, Perek Yud Ches. And there it says, Lo yimotzi b'cha mavir b'no ubito ba'esh. And the Torah specifies that it's got to be ba'esh. Ma'lahalin ba'esh, afkan ba'esh, ma'kan molech, aflahalin molech. And basically, we take these two psukim and we put them together as one whole. The pasuk in Vayikra Yudches and the pasuk in Dvarim Yudches. One teaches that the violation is contingent upon passing the child through fire. The other one teaches that it applies only for the sake of this particular idol, namely Molech. And this is all based on the Gzeir Shava, that we can equate these two psukim. So again, let's just go over it. The first pasuk in Vayikra Yudches, that mentions Havaras b'no lamolech. The second pasuk in Dvar mentions Mavir b'no ubito be'esh. So from the first pasuk we learn that it's got to be Mavir be'esh. And from the second pasuk, I'm sorry, from the first pasuk we learn that it's got to be Mavir. We don't know if it's Eish, but it's got to be for Molech. The second pasuk teaches it's got to be Ba'esh. The first pasuk is in Vayikra, the second is in Dvarim. If we only had the pasuk in Dvarim, we might have thought that he's chayev even if he passes the child through the fire without handing the child over to the priests of Molech. So we need all three conditions to be, well, we need actually four conditions. Let's count up four conditions. Number one, we need Mesira. Number two, we need Havara. Number three, we need Eish. And number four, we need Molech. These are the four preconditions for the Chiyuv. And again, the Mesira itself is not Chayv, even if he had Kavona to be Maver Ba'esh. And the Havara Ba'esh would not be Chayv without the Mesira. And again, not for another idol, and it's got to be Eish. Omar of Acha Brei de Rava, Hevir Kol Zaro, if a person passed all of his offspring through the fire for the sake of Molech, Potter, that's paradoxical. We would think that if he's chai for one, certainly be chai for all his children. Shenemar Mi Zaracha. And whenever we see that mem at the beginning of a word, we always darshan a mute, mi zaracha, of your offspring, velo kol zaracha, but not if you give up all of your offspring. And this is again the pasuk in Vayikra Yudches. So again, the Torah could have said, you shall not give your offspring, right? But instead it says, you should not give all your offspring. That's what it says. I mean from your offspring, which means to imply that if you give all your offspring. Now, Tosus raised the obvious question. Once he passes the first child through Molech, he's already chayev. And then subsequently he passes the rest of his children, now he becomes potus. Tosus answers that this principle that we're learning here applies to the case of a person who has one child. If he passes that child through the fire, he's not liable because that's all of his offspring. Tosus offers another possibility that the Gemara means to say that the person passes all of his offspring simultaneously and there was never a moment in time where he's chayv for one of his zera, then he's potter. Boy Ravashi. Ravashi has a suffix. Heviro suma mahu. What's the din if the child was blind and he was passed through the fire? Or Yashan Mahu, what if the child was sleeping? What's the din in this case? Now the Gemara is clearing out, what does it mean to be Mavir B'no? Is it just enough that the child passes through the Eish? Or is it possible that no, he's got to be almost an active participant in passing through the Eish? In other words, what is the ritual itself that engenders a Chiyuv Misa? The child himself could not have passed through on his own because the child was blind, or alternatively, he was sleeping. Is that Ma'akiv? So the Gemara is raising the possibility that the Torah might require the child to be, to some extent, an active participant. Or one could say the following, that the Torah holds the father liable because the child himself could have walked through the fire, and the father went ahead and went through this entire ritual to make sure that the child was carried through. That's why he's chayav. And that's the suffix in the Gemara. Ben beno uben bito mau. The Torah in Dvarim Yudches mentions a son or a daughter, that he passes his son or his daughter through the fire, implying that this violation only applies to his son or his daughter. But on the other hand, in Vayikra Yudches, it says Zaracha, that might mean all your offspring, including grandchildren. So the Gemara says Tifshot Miyachada. One of the various questions that you raise, we can respond based on a brisa. The Sanya Ki Zaracha Nosan Lamolech. Ma Talmud Lomar. Right, when it says Lefisha Demar Lo Yimotze Becha Mavir Bino Ubito Beish Ein Li Ela Bino Bito Ben Bino Ben Bito Minayin Talmud Lomar Betito Mizaro. So the pasuk in Devarim would have given us the false impression to limit this violation to the case of a son or a daughter, but the pasuk in Vayikra that says Mizaro or Mizaracha, that's going to teach us even his grandchildren, and there's a chiv for his grandchildren. Now, it's interesting. The Brisa at the beginning quoted one pasuk. Now the Brisa is quoting a slightly different pasuk. The first quote was from pasuk Yud. Now quoting a pasuk Dalid, and it says V'imhalim yalimu amaortze seinemin aishu v'tiso mizaro lamolech. That's the pasuk Lizaro. The Gemara is going to try to investigate why the Brisa cites a different pasuk. At the outset, the Brisa was focused on pasuk Yud. Now we go back to pasuk Dalid. Now my assumption is that once it says Zaracha, it would include all generations, all offspring, including great-grandchildren, not just grandchildren. Now, what would be if he gave all of his grandchildren for Molech? This is a clear, the Minchas Chinuch raises this question, and Zaro includes his grandchildren, and if he gave all of his children to Molech, then he's Potter. What if he gives all of his grandchildren? That remains a suffix. Tana Pasach Be Ki Mizaro. The Tana began the Brisa by analyzing Pasuk Yud in this parasha. And Solik, and it completes the Brisa in the Seifa with a quote from Pasuk Dalit. So the Gemara answers Drosha Achrinahu. Now there's a reason why the Pasuk the end of the Brisa quotes the second pasuk is to imply that there's another drasha. Now the first used the first pasuk to teach us that even his grandchildren are chayv. Now the Tana is hinting at the fact that there's another derivation to be derived from the second pasuk, which means the pasuk of Zaro. And what is that second drasha? Zaro, ein li ela zera kosher zera posel minayin. Tamalom v'tiso mizaro. So Zara is a ribui to tell you any and all of his offspring, even offspring that are illegitimate, and they have what's called a psul kol. For example, a mamzer, Rashi gives the example. And basically, that's the extra pasuk here of betiso mizaro to include even a son who's a mamzer. And yechayev for any of your offspring, even a mamzer. So basically, this b'raisa is teaching us two different dinim. One din is that the prohibition of moloch applies to grandchildren. The second is that the prohibition applies to illegitimate children as well, which are psuei kol. Om Rabbi Yehuda, eino chayev ad sheyavirenu derech ha'avara. And the Gemara wants to know, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying here about derech ha'avara, the normal way of passing through? In other words, he's got to perform this ritual the way it's performed, the way the Ovdei Avodah Zarah apply it. Hechi dami, what does this mean? Om Rabbaye, we'll have different opinions. See, Abaye says, Shraga delivne b'mitzei, that there's a group of bricks, livne of bricks, that are set up in the center. Nura mehai gisa v'nura mehai gisa, there's a fire on one side and a fire on the other side, and the child passes through between the two fires. That's called mavir b'no Lamolech. But Rava says, Kimeshvarta de Furaya. Interesting. Puraya is a reference to Purim, and it's a Purim style leap. Notice the fire is lit inside a pit, and the person holding the child leaps over the pit. Now, it would seem that the child is not killed, is not burned during this ritual. And we're going to have a brisa later on that if one passed himself through the moloch, he's not liable. Now, clearly, we're talking about a person who survives this ritual. Otherwise, there's no reason to discuss whether we should put him to death. He must be alive then. And it's interesting, the Gemara that we had yesterday about Melech Hizkiyahu's father wanted to offer him to this fire service and he would have been burned. It's not that his mother saved him with the blood of the salamandrandia. That was not a case of moloch. It was some sort of god of the Serviites, if you remember, whose worship was to burn the children in actuality. But as far as Moloch is concerned, here the ritual did not entail burning the child. So again, according to Abaye, we're talking about a column of bricks in the center. According to Rava, we're talking about a fire that's inside a pit and we have to leap over the pit. And apparently this was a common practice back in the day, and it was part of Purim celebration. Otherwise, why does he give the example of Purim? Tanya Kavosei Derav, we have a brisa that supports Rava. Eino chayev ad sheyavirenu derech havara. You notice he's got to do it the normal way. And then it says, Havira baregel potter. If he passes the child through on foot, he's not liable. In other words, what required is that one carries the child, not that the child walk on foot. If he carries the child, then he's chayev. But if the child walks on foot, there's no chayev. Then the b'raisa continues and says, V'eino chayev ela anchi al yotzei yirecho. He's only chayev for his own children. Ha'ketzad b'no ubito chayev, but aviv v'imo achiv v'achoso potter. For any other relative other than his son or his daughter, he's not chayev. Hever atzmo potter. And if he passes himself through, he's not chayev. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, mechayev. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that he's chayev. The Gemara is going to have to explain what is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon and the Tanakhama. Then the Brisa continues and says, Echad lamolech v'echad l'sharav odazar chayev. This according to the Machmirim, the Tanakhama, who says yechayev even if it's not molech. We've already seen from the previous Brisa that's not so, because the previous Brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, who says lamolech chayev shalol lamolech potur. Omar Ula. Let's take a look at Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. If he himself passes through the fire, he's liable. So Ula says, my time with Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, This pasuk in Sefer Dvarim in Perek Yud Ches tells me that lo yimotze becha, there's an extra word becha here, becha bi'atzmecha, to tell you, even if you carry yourself through the fire, that's itself enough to be mechayev you for the chiyuv ski, the chiyuv doraisa, and the capital crime of molech. So according to this position, when the pasuk says that you should not be, you should not find in yourself one who passes through, and yourself is coming to tell you, even if you yourself pass through the fire. That's the shita of Elazar Reb Shimon. Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan do with this drasha of Becha? Lo darshi Becha. They don't have a drasha for the word Becha. Now this Becha is part of Pshuto Shel Mikra. So Gemara says, Vasnan, I'm going to prove to you from a Mishnah, in this case, a Mishnah Bav Metzia, that Enochinami, the word Becha, should be darshan. Avedos Avedos Aviv. Whose Aved does he return first? If he finds his father's Aved, he finds his own lost object. Shalo Kodemes. His comes first. The Amrinon, my timer. We ask, what is the reason the Mishnah Paskins that I have to save my own Aved before I save my father's Aved? Omarav. Omarav Yehuda. Omar Kra Efes Ki Lo Yebcha Evyon Shalo Kodemes L'Shel Kol Adam. The Torah says, there shall not be any destitute among you. And this is a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Tesvav. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that this a bracha, that there should be no destitute among you. But Rabbi Yehuda says the word Efes means zero. Zero means that you should have no destitute. You should not suffer in any way any sort of poverty as a result of the fact that you give up something that could be yours for the sake of someone else. So shalcha kodemes l'shel kol adam. So in any event, the pasuk here says lo yeh becha evyon, and now we're dashing the word becha. So why don't the Chachamim darshan the word Becha with regard to Molech as Atzmo la Molech? Hasam me Efes. The drasha of the Chachamim with regard to saving your own lost object first before giving a precedence over your father's object, that is darshan not from the word Becha, but rather from the word Efes. And Efes means zero, as we said before. And the Pshuta Shel Mikra seems to be a promise on behalf of Kodesh Baruch Hu that Anius will cease in Klal Yisrael, but therefore the word Efes is completely superfluous. So now we're going to use it to teach us this halacha that you have to be concerned with your own possession, your own Aveda first, in order that there should be no Anius. Now the Gemara asks another question. Omar Av Yosef Barab Chanina Sholosh Kresos Bavodazor Lama. Why does the Torah repeat the Chiyuv Kares not once, not twice, but thrice in the Torah? Once in Vayikra Perek Chaf. A second is in that same Perek, but a few Psukim later. And a third we find in Bamidbar Perek Tes Vav. So over and over again, the Torah says, V'nichrasa ha'nefesh ahi me'ameha. And why is it necessary for the Torah to repeat Kares three times? The Gemara answers, Achas l'chedarko, achas shalo kedarko, v'achas l'molech. So we're talking about three different chiyuve misa, or chiyuve Kares, and we're talking about idol worship and molech. In the case of idol worship, then one pasuk teaches me kedarka, meaning that you serve the idol in the way that it's normally served. The second is shalo kedarka, even if it's not the normal way, but if you serve it in a way like slaughtering it or burning it or nisuch, bowing down to it, these are absolute automatic chiyuvim for all these modes of avodah zarah, even if it's not the normal way you would serve that avodah zarah. And finally, the third pasuk is lemolech, that in the case of molech, you're chayiv kares. And again, we're assuming now that the chiyuv for molech is not a chiyuv avodah zarah, and that's why the Torah, has to point out that you'll get kares for molech. Had molech been simply another form of avodah zarah, then the Torah would not have to tell you that you have kares for molech. It's no different than any other avodah zarah. But molech is a separate category, and it generates its own chiyuv kares. Therefore, it makes sense that if a person did molech and a different form of avodah zarah towards a different idol, you'd be chayv shtayim. For sure, because now we're assuming it's a molech is not even avodah zarah. Ulamad yomer molech avodah zarah he kares b'molech lomali. Now the Gemara turns it around. We had another man diomar back on the Samach Dalet Amud Aleph who held that that you chayiv b'toras avodah zarah in the case of molech. So why do I need a special kares if anyway it fits into avodah zarah? And the answer is lamavir b'no shelo kedarko. Molech, although it is an avodah zarah, it has a unique halacha that you be chayev even in an unusual manner of service for that molech, and that chiyuv would go beyond the regular normal worship of an idol. If you were worshipping an idol shelo kedarka, except again for those absolutes, but you would be potur. In the case of molech, then you're chayav even for shelo kedarka. Now, in the case of avodah zarah, other forms other than zivuach and haktar, which is sreifa, and nisuch, all other forms, you're only chayav if that's the usual way most idolaters will worship and service that idol. But from the fact that the Torah had an extra kares with regard to molech, we derive the conclusion that you're chayav kares if he performs molech for another idol, another form of God or idolatry, even though that's not kedarka. And that again is machlokas tanoim that we mentioned earlier. The Gemara asks now, Laman di omer magadif avodah zarah hu? We had a machlokas earlier as to whether or not a magadif is considered a person who violates avodah zarah. Is kares b'magadif lomali? Again, the same kind of question. Why did the Torah have to mention, spell out kares in the case of magadif if a magadif is in any event chayav midin avodah zarah? So again, we're talking about someone who curses God, and let's say now here there's a shtickle Torah here, the Marshal. This requires a lot of study in and of itself. He's talking about the Megadev as someone who sings for the idol, and that idol is usually generally served by singing. This is Sugya increases on Dav Zayin Amud Beis. And the question is whether or not the Megadev mentioned in this parsha of Kares. Let's read the parsha. It's in Bamidbar Tesvav Pasuk Lamed. It says, "Vanefesh atasa biadrom min ezroch min ager es Hashem hu megadef v'nichrus hanefesh ahu mikerev ama." So the Chiyuv Kares here for megadef is written in a parsha in Bamidbar Tesvav, and the Gemara increases mentions a shita, one man yomer, that the megadef in this pasuk is someone who sings for an idol. And the singing is usually, that's the usual way of serving the idol. So he's chayav kares based on this first pasuk that we mentioned earlier that teaches us if he serves an idol in the usual way, he's liable. Look at Isanya, we learned in the Braisa. He kares, ti kares. When the Torah says he kares, Why does it repeat tikares? Tikares ba'olam hazeh, tikares li'olam haba. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So it means that the chiv kares refers not only to life in this world, which will be he'll die prematurely, but also as far as the life of the soul, he'll be cut off from olam haba. That's not usually the way we understand kares, because we're much more familiar with the approach of Rabbi Shmuel. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel, v'alo kvar nemar v'nichrsa. And here, he refers to the fact that the Torah repeats kares, v'chi shlosha olamim yesh. Why the repetition of kares three times? There's three consecutive references to kares. Rabbi Shmuel is quoting the pasuk of V'nichrsa, and that pasuk refers to the Megadev. Rabbi Shmuel holds the Megadev is also in violation of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the term Kares that's mentioned three times in these two psukim in relationship to Avodah Zarah, that makes sense according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva holds that the Megadev is a person who blasphemes against the name of God, and therefore there are only two references to Kares here with regard to idol worship. So Rabbi Shmuel's point, he's not really challenging Rabbi Kiva, he's rather asking the following question that really is relevant to his own interpretation of the term Megadev. Shlosha olamim yesh, ela v'nichrasa b'olam hazeh, hi kares olam haba, ti kares dibra Torah b'loshem b'dei adam. So you can only be cut off from two worlds, but in the case of the third kares, that's just added for the common knowledge. That's called dibra Torah b'loshem b'dei adam. So it seems that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Mechui of Kares is cut off even from Olam Abba. The Mishnah here on Daf Samach Hey Amid Aleph addresses the case of Ovi Doni, who's also Chayav Skila. And let's read the Mishnah. Baal Ov Ze pitom hamedaber mishechio. This is a pitom who speaks from his armpit. Now, in fancy English, a pitom is called a necromancer. He communicates with the dead. He raises the spirit of the deceased from the ground and causes it to take up residence under his armpit, from which its voice emanates. You'll take a look at Rashi here, and you'll take a look at Tiferes Yisrael. And Yidoni, says the Mishnah, Zeh HaMedaber B'Piv. In other words, this is a sorcerer, and he takes the bone of an animal. This animal is called Yadua. He places it in his mouth, and then the voice emanates from the bone of this animal. And that's called a Yidoni. And Yidoni is from the word Yadua, which is the name of the animal from which this bone is taken. Harei Elu B'Skila. These are also part of our perek, the Chayev Skila. And the reason for this is that in the parasha of Ov and Yidoni, that's in Vayikra Perek Chaf, the Torah goes out of its way to say that the Ov or the Yidoni is put to death by stoning. Banishal Bohem Biazhar, the one who came to request their aid and ask them whatever question he wanted to know from the dead, this is a chiyuv lav bazhara, for which l'chora he should get malchus, unless it comes on the lav she'ein bo maisa. We'll have to see about that. So again, there's the practitioner of the Ovi Yudoni, and then there's the one who consults the Ovi Yudoni. He wants to solicit this information in the future. For example, Melech Shaul, in his last war, before his last war against the Plishtim in Shmuel Aleph, there he violates this prohibition of Altifnu El Ha'ovos Vela Yidonim, and he thought it would be mutter to consult them in order to save lives for the sake of Pikuch Nefesh of those who were engaged in war against the Plishtim. There's an entire tshuva here by the Radbaz about this question. In any event, the practitioners of the Ovi Doni, they're enjoined from engaging in sorcery, and that's based on the pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud Ches. It says Lo Yimotzi Becha Vishol Ovi Doni, and Tosus wonders about the fact that if you take a look in Vayikra Perek Chaf, you'll see that the Torah is Machayev Kares for one who is Pone El Ha'ovos Vel Ha'idonim. He turns to the Ovos of the Yidonim. And it seems that it's the practitioner subject to Kares, and only the practitioner, not the one who consults the Ovi Yidoni. Tosus says that the pasuk in Vayikra Yutes that says Al Tifnu El Ha'ovos Ve'El Ha'idonim is referring to practices of sorcery, and the other pasuk, which is in Dvarim Perek Yud Ches, that there shall not be found amongst you one who inquires of Ovi Yidoni, that prohibits consulting with these sorcerers. So in other words, the first pasuk, which is that in Vayikra, according to Tosfos, is a referring to the practitioner, and the second pasuk in Dvarim, that's, according to Tosfos, referring to the consultants, not the practitioners. Now in Pirush HaMishnayos on our Mishnah, the Rambam writes that these types of sorcery, of Ovi Yidoni, were really in truth not effective at all. These voices were only imagined by the sorcerers, and they were able to make it in such a way that people would somehow hear these voices talking to them. In any event, there's long discussions, as I said before, about Melech Shaul, who consulted the sorcerers. According to the Rambam, if the sorcerers had no meaning, what was Shaul thinking? Why would he be wasting his time? But in any event, those who disagree with the Rambam, including the Ramban and his Pirush al Torah in Dvarim Yudches, the Biagra and Yoridea, the Malbim and others, they all maintain that the sorcerers were able to engage, to tap into something supernatural, and to communicate with the dead. So perhaps we'll talk about this a little bit later on in the Sugyan Daf Samach Vav. Let's take a look now at the Gemara itself. The Gemara is, shall we say, a contrast to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah is list those averes that generate a chiyuv skila. There's a Mishnah in Krisus which lists the averes which generate a chiyuv kares. And if you take a look at the first Mishnah, Masechta Krisos, which lists 36 violations for which you chayv kares, if you transgress any of these prohibitions, b'mezid you chayv kares, and for a shogig you chayv Achayev Chatas. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Hocha, what about our Mishnah here, the Ketoni Baal Ovi Doni, who Maishna Gabi Kresos, the Ketoni Baal Ov Vishire Lidoni? The Mishnah here in Sanhedrin lists both Ov and Yidoni, whereas the Mishnah in Kresos only mentions Baal Ov, and amongst the Chiv Kares, and it completely omits Yidoni. Now, if we take a look again in Vayikra Perek Chaf, the pasuk indicates that the Ov Yidoni are both subject to Karis, and yet the Mishnah Kriyas only mentions Ov and leaves out Yidoni. And that's the Gemara's Kasha here. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hoyel Ushneim Balav Echad Nemru, since both are subject to the same Lav, including the same Lav in the Torah, and that's in the Pasuk in Vayikra Yutes, it says, Al Tifnu El Ha'ovos Vel Ha'idonim, and therefore, since one violates this single lav of Altifnu, whether through Ov or Yidoni, therefore he will be Chayv Karis, and if he violates both Ov and Yidoni, he only brings one Chiyuv Chatas. There's no Machalik here because it's the same lav. So the Mishnah increases is listing how many Chatos he'll bring. And the Mishnah didn't want to indicate, right, if you violate all the different maximum number of Chiyuvei Krasis, how many Karbonis will you bring in a Shogig Helimacha situation? The Mishnah didn't want to write both Ovi Doni, because that would jack up the number to 37, and in truth, the maximum number you'll be Chayv is only 36, because if you violate both Ovi Doni, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're only Chayv for one lav. And the basis for the halacha of chatos is in the beginning of Sefer Yikra in Perek Dalit. It says, "V'im nefesh achas techta b'shkoga me'ama oretz ba'sosa achas mi'vitz Hashem shalot yasena ve'hevi karbono." Now, what does it mean when it says a shalot yasena, which sounds like he's violating a lav? It means that because of the violation of the lav, that's why he's chayv to bring a chatos. Again, it's only a lav sheish or karis, obviously. But ovi doni, since they're included in one lav, therefore if you violate both of them, you only bring one chatos for the two of them. And again, if he violates either ov or yidoni, he's going to be chayv a chatos for each one individually. But if he forms both, he brings only one chatos because they all... they're different forms of one avera and violating the same lav al tifnu. The Mishnah Krisus opens up with the list of 36 violations which are subject or generate a chiyuv kares, and then it lists the 36. And the Gemara there in Krisus on Daf Beis Amid Beis explains that the Mishnah first stated that there are 36 violations, and this teaches us that each violation is a separate entity, and if one would violate again in one halama, all the maximum would be chayv 36, as we said before, and ovi doni, since they fall and are generated by the same lav, then doing both in the same halama only incurs one chiyuv chatas. There's no machalik between ov and yidoni. Reish Lakish Amar Yidoni Lefisha Ein Bo Maisa. The reason why the Mishnah in Krisus omits Yidoni is because Yidoni has no Maisa. We have to understand why Ov does have a Maisa, and that's the case of Pitom, and he communicates with the dead and raises the spirit of the deceased from the ground. That doesn't seem exactly to be a Maisa, but in any event, when we get to Ov, Reish Lakish says that this sorcery of... I'm sorry, when we get to Yidoni, excuse me, Reish Lakish says that this sorcery of Yidoni has no mice, there's no physical action, and therefore could never generate a Chiyuv Chatas. Because in the parsha of Chiyuv Chatas that we mentioned earlier, in Vayikra Perek Dalet, it says, Im nefesh achas techta b'shkogam ba'asosa and asher lo te'asena. Asosa means by doing one of the violations, and doing means an action, and in the case of Yidoni there's no mice, and therefore would not generate a chiyuv chatos. Because in the parasha of chatos, it says beferish asiyah. Now, in the case of ov, the Rashi explains that the way that ov violates his prohibition and his cult is such that he has to clap his arms in order for the spirit to speak from his armpit. In the case of Yidoni, he places a bone in his mouth, but then it speaks on its own accord. And placing the bone in his mouth is not considered a maisa, but it's only a hechsher avera. It only prepares the avera. Now, the sorcerer, in the case of Yidoni, while the bone is speaking, does absolutely nothing. He's totally passive, and therefore he doesn't do an action, the action that he did earlier in placing the bone in his mouth, is only a preparatory stage, and it's not part of the goof of the goof avera. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara wants to know, Maishna bal ov de nokat. According to Rabbi Yochanan, whose logic was that they both emanate from the same single lav, they only generate one chiv chatos, why did the Mishnah in Krisus choose to mention ov and not Yidoni? Again, you might ask, well, the Mishnah had to mention one case. So the Gemara wants to know why mention ov. And the Gemara answers, Mishum de Pasach Bei Kra. Because ov appears in the Pasuk before Yidoni. Let's go back to the Pasuk again. Al Tifnu Ela Ovos Ve Ela Yidonim. So the Mishnah follows the sequence of the Pesukim. And that's always the indication that the Torah Shebaal Peh is a reflection of Torah Shebaal Peh. Reish Lakish, my time alomer ker Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't Reish Lakish accept Rabbi Yochanan? It seems like a compelling reasoning that there's only one Chiv Chatas for both Ovi Doni violating the same law. Amar a pup explains Reish Lakish, Chalukin Hain Bimisa. Know that since Ovi Doni are separated as far as Misa is concerned, then as far as Chatas is concerned, they should also be separated. And therefore, since Yidoni, if, again, not for the fact that it's Ein Bo Maisa, but if Yidoni would be subject to or generate a Chatas when performed by itself, then if you do both Ov Vidoni, he should bring two chatos. And that's because of the principle of Chalukin Hain B'Misa. Now, what does it mean, Chalukin Hain B'Misa? When the Torah indicates the penalty, the punishment, in the case of Mezid, of Skila, for both Ov Vidoni, the Torah says, V'ish O Isha Kiya Bahem Ov O Yidoni, Mos Yumas, and since the Torah says O Yidoni, the O is coming to be Mechalik. And that Chiluk indicates that in the case of Shogeg, there'll be two separate Chiyuve Chatos, I should say, one for Ov and one and the other four Yidoni. That's called Chalukin Hain B'Misa. Rabbi Yochanan. How does Rabbi Yochanan reject the argument and the derivation of Reish Lakish as Rav Papa embellished it? Chalukah de lav shmei chalukah de misa lo shmei chalukah. That's when we're dealing with the derivations of Chiluk Chatos and determining whether there should be a Mechalik, then the Koveya, the determining factor, is the Lav itself rather than the Chiyuv Onesh. So let's just summarize Rabbi Yochanan's counter-argument against Reish Lakish. if you violate a chiyuv kares bishogeg of a lav, then you bring a karma chatas. And if, in terms of the negative losases, the azharas in the Torah, there are two separate azharas, then you bring two separate karbonos. And that's all in the cases of shogeg for this and shogeg for that. But in the case of mezid, where it's chayav misa, then the Torah wants to specify that there's a misa for this violation, namely ov, and there's a misa for yidoni. Now, if you take a look here, he has here a note in which he says that the death penalty for intentional transgression of a prohibition is not a factor in determining chatas liability for unwitting transgression. So in other words, the chiyuv misa is in the case of mezid, the chiyuv chatas is in the case of shogeg. And therefore we cannot derive any conclusions about the chiyuv chatas for shogeg from the violation of the chiyuv misa b'mezid. And the fact that ov yidoni are separated in misa has no relationship and no bearing on the question of chatos. Now the Gemara explains Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion and why he rejects Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, my time below Omar, Kireish Lakish. In other words, you definitely have to admit that the Chiv Chatos should depend upon a Maisa, as the Pasuk indicates, and in the case of Yidoni, there's no Maisa. Omar Lecha, Rabbi Yochanan will answer, Masnisin de Kresos, Rabbi Akivahi. The Mishnah at the beginning of Kresos is authored by Rabbi Akiva, or at least someone who holds like Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Lobi Inan Maisa, who holds that in order to bring a chatos, you don't have to have violated a law through a maisa. That's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Sugi and Krisus on Daf Zion establishes that the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Krisus is authored by Rabbi Akiva, because the Mishnah, amongst the 36 Chayuve Chatos, mentions Megadev. And Megadev, if he's chayv chatos, even though he only violated by speech, must be, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the chiv chatos is not dependent upon a maisa. That a magadev, according to Rabbi Akiva, is chayv chatos, even though there is no maisa. And therefore, Yidoni should also be chayv chatos. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva was compelled to look for another justification as to why Yidoni is not mentioned in the Mishnah Chatos, namely because it's already included under the same law as Ov. And he brings only one chatas for the violation of both Ov Yidoni Behelim Achas. Reish Lakish has to counter against the rebuttal of Rabbi Akiva. Nehi delo boy Rabbi Akiva Maisa Rabba, but Maisa Zuta boy. Rabbi Akiva might hold that you're chayav a chatas for the case of Megadev, but not for the case of Yidoni. Because in one case we're talking about an Amaisa Rabba, in the other case we're talking about a Amaisa Zuti. And the Gemara is going to try to explain now what this Maisa Rabba, Maisa Zuti is. Megadev, my Maisa Ika. So now the Gemara is analyzing the case of Baal Ov, what Maisa that is. In the case of Megadev, what Maisa is that is. So with regard to Megadev, my Maisa Ika, the Gemara says, Akimas Sfasam Havi Maisa. That when a person speaks, and in this case blasphemes God, Hashem, then that itself is considered a Maisa, according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara wants to know about Baal Ov. Is there some sort of a parallel Maisa that Rabbi Akiva would say that Yechayev Echatos in the case of Baal Ov? And the Gemara answers, Hakosh Azrosov Havi Maisus. The Gemara has now an analogy between the clapping of his arms, which generates this voice that comes from the dead in the case of Ov, and the Megadev, the Akimas Fosov in the case of Megadev. And in both these questions, we have some sort of a kind of a Maisa. Now, what happens in the case of Yidoni, there, as we said, it's the bone itself speaks, so that's not even considered a partial mice, although putting the bone in his mouth, that's a heksha, as we discussed earlier. So the Gemara says, Vafilu Rabbanon, forget about Rabbi Akiva, even according to the Rabbanon, we might want to argue, perhaps, that Hakashas Ra'os of Havi Maisa, that clapping one's arm should be considered a Maisa, even according to Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Akiva in the case of Megadev. And Rabbi Akiva, again, might be open to the possibility that not only is Megadev Chayav Achatus, but even Ov is Chayav Achatus. The Chachamim might say that we disagree with you in the case of Megadev, because Hakimas Fosim is not considered a Maisa, but in the case of Ov, where he claps his arms, maybe that would be considered a Maisa. That's what the Gemara is investigating now. For Asanya, but we have a Brisa, and this is talking about Shogeg, Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, is Einenu Chayav El Al Dover Sheyesh Bo Maisa. So again, he's not Chayav Achatus unless there was some sort of a Maisa. Kegon Zibuach Kitur V'Nisuch V'Shtachava. So the Brisa lists the classical cases for which you're always absolutely Chayav in Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter whether it's Kedarka or Shalok Kedarka, that's slaughtering, and that's burning a karban on their Mizbeach, on their altar, and pouring libations, and bowing down, and so forth and so forth. Reish Lakish says, Man Tana Ishtachava. Where does bowing fit in over here? Because bowing is not really a mice, it doesn't have any impact on any object. Is Rabbi Akiva, the Omer Lobin and Maisa. So Reish Lakish wants to suggest that the Tanakhama would not accept Hishtachava, because Hishtachava is not considered a Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teim Rabbanon Kfifas Ko Mosel Rabbanon Avi Maisa. So bending one's body is considered a Maisa. And the Gemara wants to know if clapping one's arm should be similar to Kfifas Ko Mosel in the case of bowing. If it is, then Rabbi Yochanan would say that even the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Akiva about Megadev, about Akima Sfasov, they would agree in the cases of Hishtachavol Avodah Zarah, and in the case of Ov, where he's got the clapping of the arms, in these cases it would be considered a Maisa, and there would be a Chiyuv Chatus. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says that only Rabbi Akiva, who does away with the requirement of Maisa, would accept that bowing down engenders a Chiyuv Chatus. So the Gemara now asks the following kasha based on the whole discussion about Rabbi Akiva, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in terms of the price of Avodah Zarah. Hashtel Reish Lakish, Kfifas Ko Mosel, Rabbanon Lo Avi Maisa. The way Reish Lakish understands the Rabbanon, unless you change an object, that's not considered a Maisa, is Hakashas Ra'os of Havi Maisa? Why would Hakashas Ra'os be any different as when he claps his arms, any more of a Maisa, more severe and more profound than just bowing one's head? And therefore the Gemara's kasha is as follows, that if we assume logically that clapping the arms is not considered a Maisa, then bending down is also not considered a Maisa. Yet Reish Lakish says that clapping is considered a Maisa, and yet bowing down is not considered a Maisa. So what's going on over here? So Gemara answers, Ki kom Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Akiva. Reish Lakish, when he suggested that clapping one's arm is considered a Maisa, he was interpreting this according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Aval Rabbanon lo. But the Rabbanon are of the opinion that clapping one's arm is not considered a Maisa. Therefore, we're basically subsuming Hakoshas Ra'osov under the same category as Hishtachava. And basically what we're saying is that in both cases, that would not engender a Chiyuv Chatus, not considered a serious Maisa. It's maybe you can call it a minor action, but not a major action. And therefore, we have to introduce, according to Reish Lakish, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbanan lo. Rabbanan would say that this kind of minor action is not considered is not considered a maisa to generate a chiyuv chatos. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, if you're telling me that according to the Chas Chachomim, Hakoshes Rosov is not a maisa, then what are we going to do with the seifa of the Mishnah in Krisus, where the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Akiva with regard to Magadif, Yotze Magadif Ubal Ov Mi Boile? Why does the Mishnah set up in Krisus Machlokas between Chachom and Rabbi Akiva regarding Magadif? What about Ov? Ov, again, according to Reish Lakish, has the same status as a Maisa Zuta, and Rabbi Akiva would disagree about that too. It's not a serious primary Maisa. And therefore, the Chacham should have excluded not only Megade from a Chiyuv Chatas, but also a Baal Ov. Ela Omar Ula, the Gemara now redefines the Avera of Ov in such a way that it might be considered a Maisa, as we indicated from the Mishnah in Krisus. Ela Omar Ula, B'Makater L'Shed. The Mishnah is talking about a very specific case of Ov. And what kind of case of Ov is it? It's the practice of burning incense for a shade. Now, a shade, I guess in English, you would translate as a demon of some sort. So in other words, the Gemara is establishing there are two categories of Ov. There's one category of Ov where the sorcerer just gets the spirit to speak by clapping his arms. There's another case of Ov where he burns incense to a shade. Now, in both cases, he's chayav misa. But as far as that's for mazit, but as far as shogig is concerned, if he offers incense, then he has to, again, if he did it unintentionally, then he has to bring a chatas, because that's considered a serious maisa, a maisa rabba. In other words, in the case of a chiyuv misa, then you chayev in all situations of ov. But as far as a chiyuv chatas, in the case of shogeg is concerned, you need an action. And in general, ov is not considered an action, clapping one's arms, but burning of incense is considered an action. So therefore, the Mishnah, in that case of Ov, doesn't have to tell you that the Chacham would exclude Ov from a Chatas, because since the Maisa, the Chacham would agree that you are Chayav a Chatas. Even though the Chacham would disagree in a different case of Ov, but that's kind of like an isolated case, not the standard case of Ov. Amalei Rava says to Ula, I'm not happy, because Makata L'Shed Oved Avodas Kochavim Hu. Wow, this is interesting. According to Rava, once you burn incense to a demon, that's a worship of the incense. This is a kind of mystical procedure, and in this case, there is a violation, according to Rava at least, of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, maybe we have to come up with another answer to explain what's going on over here. Ella Amar Rava, the Gemara offers a different answer. B'makater lechaber. So we're talking about someone, and this is the explanation of the Mishnah in Krisus, who practices Ov by burning incense, not as a service to the Shadim, but rather lechaber. Now the question is what this word lechaber means. Technically, it's part of some sort of mystic procedure. We're not sure. He sort of conjures up the demons. He brings them up from wherever they are. And he's not offering incense as a service, as an avoda to the demons, but he hopes that these shadim will assist him in communicating with the dead. And if that be the case, we understand why this in this particular situation we're not talking about avodas kochavim. This is not avodas kochavim. This is not a form of idol worship. So again, we want to get Ov as a separate listing, and it's not included in Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah at the beginning increases, has both Avodah Zarah and Ov. This is a case of Ov, of a kind of practitioner who is a sorcerer who is aided by the demons, but he's not worshipping the demons. Now, if this be the case, he should be Chayav Malkus. And that's what Abaye is going to object. Omalei Abaye, why is this a Chiyuv Kares with a Chiyuv Chatos B'shogeg? Hamakato L'chaber Chover Cheverhu, Chover Choverhu, and therefore he's only Chayav Malkus. Now Chover Chover is also in the same parish in Dvarim Yud Ches, Lo Yimotzi B'cha Chover Chover, but there, if you use methods of sorcery to bring up, you know, creatures and so forth and so on, that's a violation of a law, but it doesn't incur a chiyuv kares. So Rav answers in Vatora Omra Chover Ze Biskila. The Torah says that in this particular case, there is a chiyuv skila. And although the Torah doesn't usually impose a chiyuv skila upon someone who conjures up these images, these various creatures and so forth and so on, and therefore he's only chayev malchus, as anyone who violates a law, that's the case of chover chover, he's not liable to kares. But by contrast, in the case of Ov, one who practices Ov, he's subject to kares, and even to skila in the case of mezid, and chatos in the case of shogeg. So let's leave this question on the side right now as we go through the sugya, and we'll finish this up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. What is the difference between chover chover and ov according to Rava? And when Rava says in, then the case of ov, he's chayav skila. And yet, chover chover, in the general case, when he's not an Ov practitioner, is chayev malchus. So let's see if we can understand this, or at least make some progress on this question with regard, in the light of the Braisa. In other words, basically, what we want to understand is what the Gemara in Krisus Daf Gimel Amid Beis addresses as to when the chaver chaver is in violation of a lav, and when the ov is chayev misa. Tanur Rabbanon, we have this price that says chover chover is echad chever gadol v'echad chever katan v'afil nechashim ve'akravim. So we have now the case of chover chover, which means that he somehow, you know, these are called incantations. He gathers together a group of animals, whether it's a large group or a small group, perhaps wild animals, perhaps domestic animals, perhaps rodents, insects, nechashim v'akrovim, and any of these incantations which conjure up snakes and scorpions to incite them, this is all included under the lav of chover chover. And he gathers them together from towns, and somehow if he puts them in unpopulated areas, they will not harm any people. And that's chover chover. Omar Abaye, again, I'm not saying that we have the final pshat here, we'll have to clarify this. Hilkach Haiman Ditzomid Tzibura V'akrave, he puts a bee. Okay, a bee is a zibura and akrav is a scorpion. He brings them together through these incantations. Is afal gav de kamachavein de lo lizku, even though he does not have any intent that they should cause harm, but rather he wants them to kill each other, is nevertheless, right, is also, he's not allowed to do this. It's forbidden to do this. Again, we're not talking about a case where he wants to save his life, because these creatures, these dangerous creatures are chasing him and endangering his life. That's okay. But if he wants to join them together to have them kill each other, that's not acceptable. Now again, let's just remind ourselves that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we learned earlier today, according to the Chachamim, the Rabbanon, Hishtachava will generate a Chiyuv Chatas. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, Maishno de Kfifas, Komosel Rabbanon Avimaisa, Vakimas Fosav Lo Avimaisa. Why did the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva insist that in the case of Magadif there is no Chiyuv Chatas? Because it's Ein Bo Maisa against Rabbi Akiva. And yet they admit that in the case of Kfifas Komosel, in Hishtachava there will be a Chiyuv Chatos. Omar Rava, Shiny Megadev, hold the Yeshno Belev. The case of Megadev is different because the violation is in the heart, or at least primarily in the heart. So the blasphemy has to be a blasphemy directed towards God. And that means not just the words that he blasphemes against God, but also his heart has to refer to God. If his heart refers or thinks of some other entity, and he has named that God, he's not liable. So the sin is dependent upon what we call the kavanas halev, and therefore the dibur is only to objectify that blasphemy in words. But the giduf itself is not an action, but rather is bolev. And that's why the Chachamim consider this to be a lav she'ein bo, ein bo maisa. And this leads us to daf samachei, amid beis, and amir tzashem. Bulineder will try to pick that up tomorrow.